Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Mem Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Mem Beis Amud Beis, 16 lines from the bottom, Amma Ula. As we began yesterday, we were discussing at length the Parsha of Parah Aduma and the various avoidus, the various acts that were done in the preparation of the Parah Aduma. And the Gemara today will continue in explaining these concepts and the halachas involved. But Ula begins with an opening statement. Amar Ula, Kol HaParsha Kula. When one learns the Parsha of Parah Aduma, Mashma Moitz Miyad Mashma, or Mashma Memela. The way to understand the Pesukim is that one Pesuk follows the other Pesuk. Sometimes the latter Pesuk is Moitzi, teaches us that the Din is different in different acts than in the previous Pesuk. And sometimes, Mashma Memela, the Pesuk says that in different acts, the same Din applies. And Ula will now start going through the various Pesukim in the Parsha and teaching us what is the relevant halach by each din. Begins the Gemara, a pasuk that we spoke about yesterday, a lot. The pasuk says, by the first Parah Aduma, v'nasatem oisam el Elazar HaKoyin, that the ashes should be given to Elazar HaKoyin. Teaches us the Braisa, oisal Elazar, that first Parah Aduma was processed by Elazar, v'loy l'daris Elazar. Future generations, it wasn't processed by Elazar. What does that mean? Who does the processing of the Parah Aduma in future generations? Machloikis. Ikad Amri, one version is, L'doiris b'kayin gadol. Future generations, it's not Elazar that does it, it's the kayin gadol that does it. V'ikad Amri, and another version is, L'doiris b'kayin hedjit. In future generations, it should be done by the kayin hedjit. There's an interesting explanation, what is the basis of this machlokes? Because this is one of the rare occasions that we find that something should be done, on one hand, not by the Kohen Gadol. Aaron the Kohen wasn't the one that brought the first Parah Aduma. On the other hand, it wasn't brought by the Kohen Hedjit. It was brought by a new status, Elazar. And in fact, the Gvur Sari discusses, was it Elazar as a person that the Torah wanted, or was it Elazar in his position a scan Kohen Gadol, assistant Kohen Gadol. But be as it may, that time Elazar brought it. In future generations, it's either going to be a notch up, it'll be our Kohen Gadol, or in future generations, it'll be a notch down, it'll be any Kohen. What is the Machloikis based on? So the question is, why wasn't Aaron a Kohen asked to bring the first Parah Aduma? One explanation is that why is the Parah Aduma brought? We all remember the famous Rashi in Chumash. Tova ima v'tekanach es bano. Since Klai Yisrael did the sin of the eagle is a calf, the parah is the cow, the mother of the calf, so let the Parah Aduma do the kapara for the avera of the eagle. Who was part of that avera? Aaron. So that's why Aaron cannot participate in the Parah Aduma. But that's only Aaron. In future generations, where we don't have that unique concern, then the Kohen Gadol could bring the Parah Aduma. But there's another explanation why the Parah Aduma should not be brought by Aaron. Given, as we have spoken and will learn, much of the processing of the Parah Aduma was not done in the Azara. So, to tell the Kohen Gadol to go do an Avoida that will not be done in the Azara is not respectful. And therefore, we specifically didn't ask Aaron, but that isn't a concern limited to Aaron. It's a concern limited to, that affects every Kohen Gadol, that we don't want a Kohen Gadol to have to leave the Azara to do an Avoida. That's why, in future generations, the Kohen Gadol shouldn't do it. It should be a Kohen Gadol. It should be a Kohen Hedjit. Ask the Gemara. Bishlam l'madam l'doris b'Kohen Hedjit. According to the explanation, in the future generations, the Parah Aduma will be processed by Kohen Hedjit. Shapir. The Torah says, Elazar, that generation, and future generations, you could use any coin. However, element amar l'dayrus b'kain gadol, that you have to go up a notch, and the future generations has to be kain gadol menalei. What's the basis? We said a nice pshat, but it has to have a basis in the Torah. Answers the Gemara, Gama chuka chuka mi Yom Kippurim. It says the word chuka by Paraduma. It says the word chuka by Yom Kippur. As we know, learning Masechta Yuma, all of the avoidus Yom Kippur had to be done by the Kohen Gadol. So we learn in Gzeres Shava that the same thing will be on Paraduma. Now the Gemara continues. V'hoitzi oisa, you should carry out the Paraduma. Shlo yoitzi acheres ima, you should not carry another animal out with it. Ketnan, as the Mishnah says in Masechta Para. You're dealing with an animal. It refuses to move. So the first thing that you're not allowed to do, all the Mefarshim explain, is that you're not allowed to do what you normally would do. Put a rope around its neck and schlep it out. Because the halacha is, the Torah says, you're not allowed to do any work with the paraduma. If any act is done with the paraduma, any work, it becomes disqualified. So here you have a paraduma that doesn't want to move, and you can't schlep it out with a rope. What do you do? So one of the things that they'll normally do is you'll take another animal. And once that animal moves, it'll move along. Says the Braisa, Ein Motzini Moshchayra, you're not allowed to take out another black para with it. Shloyoy Moshchayra Shachtu. Because if they see you taking out the black para, they'll say that that's the animal you're using as the para aduma, and you're not allowed to use a black animal, you have to use a red one. Furthermore, so take out another red one. You're not allowed to take out another red one, because they're going to say that you shechted two paradumas, as we're going to learn in the next Amud, you're not allowed to shecht two paradumas at the same time. So as the Rishonim explain, there's a disqualification, which we discussed yesterday, when working with the paraduma of Hesach Hadas. You have to give the paraduma all of your attention. So here we're not discussing a situation that when you take the black animal along with the red animal, you're going to divert your attention from the paraduma. Because if that were the case, then certainly it's aser. We learned yesterday, hesach hadas is possible. Here we're dealing with a situation that you're going to pay attention to the paraduma. You're just taking out the black one only to schlep out the red one, but it's still aser. That's the Tanakama. Rebbe Yoimer comes along, Rebbe says, that's not the reason. Leiman Hashem was there. It has nothing to do with what people are going to say. What is the reason? The Torah says, Oysa levado, it itself, nothing else with it. Ask the Gemara, the Tanakama hooks of Oysa. Why did Tanakama have to give us a whole explanation? People are going to talk. The Torah says, Oysa, you got to take out the paraduma only by itself. Answers the Gemara, Man Tanakama, who is the Tanakama of Shimon he? The Darish Tamid the Kro. That he explains the reasoning. Of course, the Tanakama understands that the reason you're allowed to take out the paraduma by itself is because the Torah says, Oysa levadoi. But he says the Torah, there's a basis for what the Torah says. The Torah doesn't just say it. Why does the Torah say that you're not allowed to take, that you have to take out the paraduma itself? Because people shouldn't say that you're shechting two animals. Or people shouldn't say that you're shlechting a black animal. Where's Rav Shimon, where's the basis for Rav Shimon that he always explains the pasuk? The Torah says, that you're not allowed to take from a woman, a widow, security. Says Rav Shimon, Gemara Masechta Bava Metzia, Rashi quoted in Chumash. What type of widow are we talking about? We're talking about a poor widow. That the halach is, the Torah says that if you take security from a person, and you take an item that he needs every night, let's say you take his blanket, his pillow, he hasn't got another blanket or pillow, you have to return it to him every night. Says Rav Shimon, if you're going to have a poor widow, and you're going to take from her her blanket and a pillow, and every night you're going to have to return it, at the Messiah Shem Rabbish Kurasah, she'll get a bad reputation that somebody's visiting her every night. Therefore, says Rav Shimon, if the woman, if the widow is a wealthy widow, that she has, Baruch Hashem, other blankets and pillows, you could take security from a widow. The other man, Dhamma, says, no, the Torah says you're not allowed to take security from a widow, we don't explain the pasuk. Here too, Rav Shimon says, why did the Torah say that you're not allowed to add another animal with a paraduma? Because people shouldn't speak. And Rebbe says it has nothing to do with people speaking. The Torah said a reason, it's a gzeiras hakasuf. So the Rishonim explain. It's not that Rebbe holds that we don't try to explain what it says in the Torah. Certainly we try to explain what it says in the Torah. But that can't have halachic ramification. That we should say that our explanation should affect the din. The din is what the Torah says. My B'nai, so what is the practical nafkamina between the way Rav Shimon approaches this din and Rebbe approaches this din? Says the Gemara, Ik B'nai de Atuk Hamor Bado, that together with the parah, you took out a donkey, a non-kosher animal. So if the reason is because the Torah says, Oysa, Oysa Levadoi, that you have to take out the parah itself, so it makes no difference what animal you took out along with it, you're not allowed to. But if the concern is that people will talk, where is the concern that people will talk? When you take out another animal, and people will say, I'm using the other animal. But when I'm taking a donkey, nobody's going to say that I used a donkey instead of a parah. So Rav Shimon will say you can take out a donkey. The Mefarshim say, another explanation. The Mefarshim say that what will be if you take out a white parah? That will also be a difference. Because a black parah, the Gemara says many times in Shas, that black is Edom Shalaka. It's really red that this got changed its color. So people will say you took the black because you think the black is red. But nobody will confuse white with red. So if the reason is because Oysel of Ador, the Torah says take this alone, so it makes no difference what color it is. If the reason is because people shouldn't talk, by red, by white one, no one will talk. Not a Tveres Yisrael, says has a Gevaldige Kasha. As a Tveres Yisrael, the Gemara could have given another Nafkamina. What would be if you did it? You took out two animals. You took out a black. If the concern is people talking, so that's only a concern, but it shouldn't make it possible with the Evid. If the concern is Oysa Levadoi, that the Torah says you have to take out alone, so then if you took out another animal, it should be disqualified. Says that which would be a Gevaldige Nafkamina. Says the Tveres Yisrael, the fact that the Gemara did not say that Nafkamina comes to teach us that with the Evid, everybody will agree that if you took out two animals, it's kosher. The Gemara here is speaking about a l'chatchila situation. Says the Brosik further, v'shachet oysa shlo yeshchet acheres imo. That you should not shecht another parah like we said, together with the paraduma. The way the Mefarshim explain it, it means that you shouldn't have two paradumas lined up next to each other, and then you'll have a long knife, and you'll shecht both of them simultaneously. Then the Pasuk said Lefanav, which is the Pasuk that we discussed yesterday. Rav taught us that the word V'shachar Oysa Lefanav teaches us Shlo Yisich Datam Imenu, that you're not allowed to have Hesach Hadas. V'shmul, it comes to teach us Sheyezor Shoychit, Azor is allowed to shecht it, V'loza Roya. But Aloza has to be there watching. Continues the Pasuk, V'lokech Aloza Rakoyim Edom Metzba. The next Pasuk says that Aloza should take from the blood. L'shmul, what is, according to Shmuel, what is the Pasuk teaching us? L'dur l'alozer. That even though the previous Pasuk said that anybody could do the Shechita, but here, when we're talking about the Kabbalah Saddam, now Shmuel agrees it has to be done by Elozer. L'rav, according to Rav, we are already dealing with Elozer. Because according to Rav, the Shechita had to be done by Elozer. What does the Pasuk teach us with Lokach? Have a miyad achamiyad, we have a klal, that when the Torah says one exclusion, followed by another exclusion, they mirachamir el rabbis the fil kain hedjet. That for the Kabbalah Saddam, we could even use a kain hedjet. So now we have a very significant machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. According to Shmuel, Kabbalah Saddam had to be done by a lozer. According to Rav, even a kain hedjet may do it. Ask the Sfasemis, gvaldige kasha. What does a mirachamir mean? Mirachamir means when the Torah says the same thing twice. So why did the Torah have to say it twice? It must be El Rabbis. The Torah isn't saying the same thing twice. The first pasuk is talking about Shechita. The second pasuk is talking about Kabbalah. So it's two separate subjects. It's apples and oranges. That's not a mirachamit. It's a gevaldige kasha. He attempts to answer that the way you have to explain the psukim are that both psukim are talking both about Shechita and Kabbalah. And since both psukim are talking about Shechit and Kabbalah, so it's a mirachmit because both psukim are talking about the same subject. But that's not Pasuk Pshat in the Pasuk. The Lokach HaKoyin, the Ketasa continues. The Lokach HaKoyin eats Erez V'ezo V'shni Talas, L'Shmuel, that said that the Kabbalah's Hadam had to be done by a Lozer. Now Shmuel tells us that this act can be done at Fila B'Koyin Hedjet. L'Rav, according to Rav, that the Kabbalah's Hadam is done by a Koyin Hedjet. So what is this pasuk teaching us? Still, I have to tell you that a Koyin Hedjet should do it. Since this is nothing to do with the parah, it's the grass and the wood and the red thread. So I would think perhaps, I shouldn't require a Koyin for it. Kamash Malon, that
you still need to have a kohen. Continues the pasuk, the kibas begod of a kohen, the Torah, the kohen who did this has to wash his clothing, bikahunai. He has to wear the big day kahuna. So there's a gevaldige shtickle Mikdash Tavid here. The Mikdash Tavid asks, we learned earlier in our Masechta, and this concept comes up throughout Kachim, the avnate that the kohen hedjit wore, what was it made out of? So the Gemara says it was made out of shatnas, wool and linen. So the question is, when the kohen is doing the avoida, so he's allowed to wear shatnas. The Torah said, you're allowed to wear shatnas when you're wearing it. But what about when the kohen puts on the big day kahuna, and he finished the avoida? So how could he continue wearing the avnate? It's shatnas. So there's a machloikis Rambam versus the Raivin and Rabbeinu Tam how to explain it. The Rambam says that since the kohen put on the avnate beheter to do the avoida, so then he can continue wearing it even when he completes it until he takes off his clothing. The Rabbeinu Tam, the Raivin, learned differently. They say as long as the kohen is in the azara, he's allowed to wear the avnate that's shatnas. But when he's outside of the azara, he's not allowed to wear the avnate that's shatnas. Ask the Mikdash David, according to the Rambam, that a kohen, as long as he's doing an avoida, is allowed to wear avnate that shatnas. So good. So even though, as we said earlier, most of the work with the Kfar Adum was done outside the azara, bikahunai, he could wear the avnate. Because as long as you're doing an avoida, the Rambam says you're allowed to wear the avnate that shatnas. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, Ravid, that you're only allowed to wear the avnate that shatnas in the azara. So how could the Torah tell us? How could the Gemara tell us that the kohen should wear the avnate? He's outside the azara, and the avnate is shatnas. That's the Mikdash David's kasha on the Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid. So he says a chiddush that we must say that according to them, when the kohen wears the avnate to do the avoid of the parah aduma, which avnate does he wear? He wears the avnate that the kohen gadol wears on Yom Kippur. That the avnate that the kohen gadol wore on Yom Kippur was pure linen. It wasn't shatnas. So when the Gemara says, "Bikuhunai," according to Ben Tam and Ravid, he'll wear the kohen gadol's gartel, which is not shatnas.
It can't be the dead school
for the Tzeres Apostle. And that perhaps will be what the Torah is teaching us. Continues the Gemara. The Tamei kohen at Arif, kohen bikuhunai b'lodiris. Teaches us the pasuk that not only was that first parah aduma done with the kohen wearing the big day kahuna, but even future generations, the kohen who does the parah aduma, processes the parah aduma, has to wear the big day kahuna. Ask the Gemara, hanich l'mandam l'doyrus b'kohen hedyit, according to mandam that said that the first parah aduma was done by a lozer, and a future generations it was done by the kohen hedyit, shaper, because I see that we're going down a notch, and was saying that future generations, we don't need a lozer. So I would also think perhaps future generations, I don't need the big day kahuna. Tells us the Torah, no. Big day kahuna are still required. However, ask the Gemara. Elamanda amala daris b'kayin gadol. In the future generations, we're moving up a notch. This is the way the Ritva learns the Gemara. That in the generation of Moshe Rabbeinu, the parah aduma was done by a lozer. In future generations, the scan is not good enough. Who do we need? The kohen gadol. So ask the Gemara, hash the kohen gadol beinan, if in future generations we're more machmer, that the tzgan is not good enough. We need a kohen gadol. So certainly, just like in that generation we needed big day kahuna, certainly we're being more machmer under who. We should certainly require the kahuna, that we should certainly require big day kahuna. Why the kahuna mebayi? Why do I need a pasuk to teach us? Answers the Gemara, in. Mil sedasi v'kav v'choyma, tarach v'kosav l'kra. Even though it's obvious, as we just explained it, we have a klal in Shas, that's something that we can learn with a kav chaymer, still the Torah goes out of the way to write it explicitly. Why? This is a concept that we find many times in Shas. It's worth explaining. Because a kav chaymer is something that's based on svar, it's based on logic. And what will happen if somebody comes along and says that the logic is flawed? So we have no kav chaymer, and there's no more din. That's why the Torah says, I'm not relying on the Kal V'Chaymer, I'm not relying on logic, I'm writing it explicitly, and therefore, you don't have, even if the logic will be questioned, the din remains solid. That's the way the Ritva learns the Gemara. Rashi learns the Gemara differently. Rashi says that how do we know that in future generations the Kohen has to wear the big kahuna? Going back to something we learned at the beginning of the Gemara. Because we learn Gzeirah Shavah. We learn Gzeirah Shavah between Parah and Yom Kippur. Just like in Yom Kippur we need a Kohen, and of course on Yom Kippur the Kohen has to wear the big kahuna, so too, future generations, you need a Kohen, and the Kohen has to wear the big kahuna. But there's a very big kasha on Rashi. The Malaya Royim asks on Rashi, if we're learning with Gzeirah Shavah, ask the Malaya Royim, on a Kal V'Chomer, we have this concept that we just explained, Mil Sadasi V'Kal V'Chomer, that even though I know from a Kal V'Chomer, Toruch V'Kosov L'Krod, the Pasuk writes it explicitly. But we don't have a concept of Mil Sadasi V'Gzeirah Shavah, that's something that's Gzeirah Shavah, Toruch V'Kosov L'Krod. So why is the Gemara, why does the Torah have to say it? I know through Gzeirah Shavah. So he wants to say a very big chiddush, and a lot of Achronim have a problem with it, that just like there's a concept of Mil Sadasi V'Kal V'Chomer, Toruch V'Kosov L'Kra, similarly there will be a concept Mil Sadasi V'Gzeirah Shavah, Toruch V'Kosov L'Kra, even though I know through Gzeirah Shavah. Continues the Pasuk, V'Osef Ish Tor Es Eifa Apar V'Iniach, Ish teaches us L'Hachshir Es Azor, that Azor could do the Maisa Sifa, the process of collecting the ash, Tor L'Hachshir Es Isha, Kar teaches us that a woman may do it. Ask Ritva, who tells me that Ish tells me Azor is permitted, and Tor teaches me that a woman is permitted? Why don't we say just the opposite? Why don't we say that Ish teaches me that a woman is okay, and Tor teaches me that a Zor is okay? So the first Teretz, he says, is very simple. What's the difference? We'll end up at the same place, that both a Zor and a woman are permitted. But then another Teretz, he says, is the Gemara doesn't want to say it. Because throughout Shas, what does the Gemara always say? Ish v'lo isha. So here you want to say the Ish comes to include a woman? Throughout Shas, we always say Ish excludes a woman. That's why I say Ish is Marba a Zor, and Tar is Marba, a woman. V'niach, what does V'niach teach us? Mish yesh b'das l'niach, somebody who has intelligence. Yotzeh cheresh shoyt v'katan, should aim b'das l'niach, that they don't have intelligence, and therefore they can't do this act. Continues the Gemara, Tanan Hossam. There's a Mishnah Masechta Parah that says, Hakol k'sherim l'kaddish, everybody is allowed to be the one to mix the ash and the water. There's an interesting Rashi. Rashi says that the water is put on top of the ash. But Tosfos questions Rashi, because Tosfos says when you learn Mishnayos Parah, the Mishnayos there teach us that it worked the other way. The first you put the water, and then you put the ash. So the Mefarshim explained that perhaps what Rashi says is that although the halach is that first you put the water and then you put the ash on it, but then you mix it up. And that's what Rashi is referring to. Chutz. So now, chutz mecher shoyt v'katan. Cher shoyt v'katan, Tanakama there says, cannot do the mixing of the ash and the water. Rabbi Yehuda, machsh v'katan. Rabbi Yehuda says that a katan may do it. Upaisel be'isha b'androgynous. A woman, he says, is disqualified. An androgynous is a person that has both simonim of a male and a female. My time of the Rabbanim. What's the reason of the Rabbanim? The ksiv. So they say like this, the Rabbanan learn like this, Hanich, the Pasal Chabasifa, the people who we disqualified to do that Sifa, which was a cotton, Pasalach Bekid, which was a cotton, Pasalach Bekiddish, will also be disqualified for Kiddish. The Hanich, the Ashruch Lach Basifa, those that were qualified to do the Sifa, which would include a woman, Ach Shlach B'Kiddush, are also qualified to do the mixing. Rabbi Yehuda, who says just the opposite, he says the person who's qualified for a Sifa is possible for Kiddush and vice versa. How does he come to that limit? In Kein Lemakra V'Lokach. The Torah should have used the word V'Lokach. My V'Lokhu. Why does the Torah use the word V'Lokhu? The Filu Cotton. The Pasalacha Chasam, even though the cotton who was not qualified, who disqualified for the Sifa, Hacha, for the Kiddush, is kosher. Isha Manala, how will we know that a woman, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is disqualified for the Kiddush, for Nosan, for Loiv Nosno. Because the Torah says the word Nosan, a male and not Nosno. As Tosfos, the fact that the Torah is written in the masculine doesn't ever eliminate a woman. Because the Torah is written in masculine. So Tosfos says that the Raya is not from the fact that the Torah uses the word Lashon Zachar. The Raya is because the Torah changes its terminology. The Torah used the word V'lachu, and now it uses the word V'nosan. Why did the Torah change the wording? It must be to teach us that the person who is qualified for the Sifa, the woman, is not qualified for the Kiddush, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda said, a few points to make. Rabbi Yehuda said that a cotton is kosher for the Kiddush, says Tosfos. But before, when we spoke about being disqualified for a sefer, we didn't only say that a cotton is disqualified for a sefer. We said that even cheresh v'shoita are disqualified. What about the cheresh v'shoita? So Tosfos says that even though Rabbi Yehuda is allowing a cotton to do kiddush, he will not allow a cheresh v'shoita. Why? Because a cotton, although today he is a cotton, in mitzvah Hashem he'll grow up, and that's why we allow him to do the kiddush. However, the cheresh and the shaita remain disqualified, and therefore even Rabbi Yehuda will agree they're not qualified to do the Kiddush. To mix the ash and the water. And it's actually relevant to Lalocha L'maisa. Because the Shulchan Aruch says, Mishich Shech B'derech, if somebody's walking Friday afternoon, and he has in his wallet, he's carrying his wallet, and has in it a lot of money. And he's not up to just leaving his wallet in the street. So he could give it to, and he's walking with a cheresh shoyt of a cotton, what should he do? So the Shulchan Aruch clearly says, give it to the shoyta. And what's the reasoning? Because a shoyta will remain a shoyta his whole life, and a cotton will grow up. What about if you're walking with a cotton in the cheresh? So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say what to do. But based on what we're learning now, that a cotton is considered more than a cheresh. Why? Because a cotton will eventually mature, and a cheresh, a deaf mute, will not. So according to what we learn in Tosfos, it's better to give to the cheresh versus giving it to the cotton. However, there's a big discussion in the Paiskim, what's going to be the halacha, the Baruch Hashem nowadays, we have all sorts of programs for people who are deaf mute that can become part of society. They can be educated in whatever other technology is used to bring them up to as regular people. So could be, they say that the entire discussion of Tosfos wouldn't be relevant, and a cheresh, if we know, has the potential of being a full-fledged member of society. In those days, a deaf mute wasn't a member of society, may have the same din as a cotton. The Mefarshim do, however, say that even Rabbi Yehuda, who is saying that a cotton may do kiddush, may mix the ash and water, it's not any child. It's strictly a child, sheyesh b'das, that has some intelligence, he's just not by mitzvah yet. But if he's not, if he's so young that he has no das yet, that cotton would not be kosher. There's an interesting shaila from the Pnei Menachem. He asks, Al Gemara is discussing when and what a woman may do, and when and what a woman may not do in processing a parah aduma. We know that the halach is that women are parted from mitzvah sasei man grama. And a parah aduma is a mitzvah sasei man grama, because the parah aduma ash water was only sprinkled on the third day and the seventh day. So it's a mitzvah sasei man grama. So how could a woman be part of the parah aduma? So Pnei Menachem says a very bechidish, la locha. He says, what type of mitzvah are women exempt when it's a mitzvah seishas man grama? It's a mitzvah that you have to do. You have to wear tefillin every day. So the halach is, if it's a mitzvah seishas man grama, women are potter. But a mitzvah that's not a mitzvah on its own, it's only a heksha mitzvah, it's only to prepare you, to put you into a certain stage, there is no ptur mitzvah seishas man grama. Paraduma, what's the purpose of paraduma? It's not an independent mitzvah. The point of the paraduma is to make you tar. There's no exemption of mitzvah seishas man grama. So continues the Gemara. Rabbanan. So Rabbi Yehuda learned from the change of terminology that a cotton is qualified for the Kiddush. But Rabbanim who don't agree, what are they going to say? Rabbanim, Ikos of Rachman of Alakach Fanason, if the Torah would have used the same terminology, Alakach Fanason, have a mina ad shokel chad v'yavchad. It's one person takes the ash and also sprinkles the ash. And most Rishonim say, and it would have to be the same person. Kos Rachman of Alakach. That's what the Torah says, Loshen Rabbim. Vikos Rachman of Alakach Fanasnu, if the Torah would have said both times, a plural, Hava mina ad shakli trevi yavitrei. It's two people that take it, two people that sprinkle. That's why the Torah specifically wrote kos rachmana v'lochu v'nosan. The filu shakli trei v'yavchad. It was two people that brought the ash, and one person did the sprinkling. It's still okay. That's not coming to teach us on the who. It's just telling the teachers how many people. The pasuk says v'loch ish ezov v'tov b'mayim ish tor. Rabbanan comes to teach us that the azar is by ish v'loy isha, a male and not a female. Tar lahachshas a cotton. It comes to teach us that a cotton is allowed to do it. Because like the Rishonim explained, obviously the paraduma has to be done by a person who's tar. The paraduma is called a chatos. It's called a carbon. And a carbon is only allowed to be processed by tar people. Why did the Torah teach us the word tar? Lahachshas a cotton. Rabbi Huda, that the previous din was that a male, that a cotton is kosher and an isha is posel. So he's going to say the pasuk says just the opposite. Review the ish for like cotton, tar lahachshas isha. Meisvei asked the Gemara, how could you say that according to Yehuda, dalochi is for hazor, ish for like cotton? And, but a woman is qualified. There's another Mishnah Masechta Purim. Hakol ksheim lahazois. Everybody could do that azar, chutz mitumtum, v'androgynous, v'isha, v'kotten, chutz mitumtum, v'isha. A tumtum, unlike like an androgynous is a person who has the simonim of both a male and a female. A tumtum is a person that the area is covered. And since it's covered, we don't know if it's a male or it's a female. There's a nice shaila in the Mefarshim. Why didn't the previous Mishnah also mention a tumtum? So they explain, an androgynous is a male and a female. It has both simonim. So what do we do with an androgynous? On his orla, we make a mila. So he shouldn't be an oral. Not as a question, is he a male or a female? But there's no concern that he's an oral. By a tumtum, his simonim are covered. So he may be a male, and we didn't do a mila. If he didn't do a mila, he's an oral. Oral is tummy. So that's why the previous Mishnah didn't mention a tumtum. The cotton says the continues the Mishnah there, teaches us the cotton sheish by das, a cotton that has das, some say ain by das, isha mesayta, a woman can help him. What does that mean? That a woman can help him hold the water, but a woman cannot help him hold his hand. Umaza and do the hazah. V'loy Paul of Rabbi Huda, and Rabbi Huda doesn't disagree. So what does it say in this Mishnah? This Mishnah says that a isha is isha is qualified and a cotton is not. Just the opposite of what Rabbi Yehuda said. And we don't see Rabbi Yehuda arguing. Amar Abaye answers Abaye. Kivan Amar Mar. Since we go back to what we started today's shiur with. Mashma moitzmi yad mashma. That the next pasuk excludes what the previous pasuk said. Or mashma meila. So if the previous pasuk said that a cotton, if the previous pasuk said that a cotton is kosher and an isha is not, it's obvious that the next pasuk says the opposite. So the Mishnah doesn't have to say that Yehuda is going to hold that. Once the pasuk previously said that these people are kosher, the din is obvious that these people will not be kosher because the next pasuk might see excludes what the previous pasuk said. The pasuk says further regarding the paraduma, v'hiza tamei al tahor, that the tar person should sprinkle the blood on the sprinkle the paraduma on the tamei person. Tar, says the Gemara, Mechlal Shu Tamei. Limit Shal Tful Yoy Shekashim Aparo. We had this thing many times, that even though normally a person who was Tamei and went to the mikveh and did not yet have Herev Shamish, the day didn't end yet, still has a vestige of Tumah. Here the Torah is teaching us that such a person still is allowed to be the person that sprinkles the Paraduma. Why? So there's two ways of understanding the pasuk. One way is hatar. It means that he became tahor just recently. That he's still a tful yoim. Another way of explaining it is, why does the Torah have to say the word Tahar? Obviously, they would use Tahar people for the processing of the Torah, Paraduma. What does the Torah say, HaTahar? To teach us that a Tful Yoim is allowed to do the Paraduma. Ask the Mefarshim that maybe that, yes, the Torah is teaching us that a person that has a vestige of Tumah is allowed to process the Paraduma. But maybe we're not talking about somebody who's a Tful Yoim. There's a level of Tumah which is less than Tful Yoim, yet not perfect. What is that? A Mechusu Kuporim. Somebody who was Tameh, who had to go to the mikvah, had to have Harav Shemesh, but still had to bring Kabbonis. And maybe the Torah is teaching us that that person is allowed to do the Paraduma, but not a Tful Yoim. So Mefarshim answer, why was the Paraduma brought? The Paraduma was brought because the person is a Tameh Mace. There's never a carbon required for a person who's a Tameh Mace. So there's no point in explaining about a Mechusu Kuporim. Mechusu Kuporim has no relationship to Tumas Mes. And one more point, we've spoken about this previously. So this was one of the areas where there was a lot of contention between the Purushim and the Tzedukim, who should process the Paraduma. We explained the Pasuk, as we just learned, that even a Tful Yoim, and the Tzedukim say that only, as the Pasuk says, Hatar, somebody is pure, not even a Tful Yoim. And the Gemara says, actually the Mishnayis and Masechta Parah discuss it a lot, we used to be careful to be makbid to use a Tful Yoim. And the Gemara says there, we learned that because they used a Tful Yoim, they didn't want people to become lax in the processing of the Paraduma, so they had all sorts of other chumras to compensate for this kula. Ask the Pnei Yeshua, the Torah doesn't say you have to use a Tful Yoim. The Torah says you're allowed to use a Tful Yoim. So why were we so makbid to use a Tful Yoim? Answers the Pnei Yeshua that here we have a very interesting phenomenon. The Tzedukim are frumer than the Prushim. We don't use a Tful Yoim, and they do. We use a Tful Yoim, and they don't. When there's a situation that the Tzedukim are being more machmer than the Prushim, that's something you have to be very careful about. That's something you have to be very, very careful about. And that's why we dafka use the Tful Yoim. Continues the Gemara. Amar of Asi. Ki hava bei Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish v'Parah. When Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were learning the Parsha Parah Aduma, le'maskminei, they couldn't learn anything new. El-Kamai da'asik masik talam ve'karba. As much as a fax could get out of a plowed field, which is not too much. El Amri Mashma Moitzmi Yad Mashma or Mashma Mela. What does this mean? We began the Shia today that Ula taught us that all the Pesukim by Paraduma, one Pasuk excludes what the previous Pasuk said, one Pasuk includes, which is a very inconsistent way of explaining Pesukim. Said Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we tried to explain the Pasuk differently, that all the Pesukim should work in one direction, either all inclusive or they're all exclusive, but we couldn't figure out how to do it. Continues the Gemara. Tana Tanaka made Rabbi Yochanan. They were learning in front of Rabbi Yochanan. Kol ha-shchita is k'sher bizar. Wherever the Torah requires shchita, the halacha is that a zar may do it. Chutz mishal para. Besides the para, which cannot be done by a zar. Omle Rabbi Yochanan. When Rabbi Yochanan heard him say this, he said, puk tana livra. Go outside. Loi mishchin, because he says, loi mitzinu shchita bizar psula. There is never a circumstance where a zar is possible. Rabbi Yochanan, what does Rabbi Yochanan say? Loi mibayi latana de loi tzayis. Not only didn't Rabbi Yochanan pay attention to what this Tana said, that this Tana said that a zar is possible and he's disagreeing, alafil l'rabbi l'tzayis. He didn't even pay attention to what his Rebbe said. Dom Rabbi Yochanan Shimon Shim ben Yotzadik, shchit is para bizar psula. Rabbi Shimon ben Yotzadik, who was Rabbi Yochanan's Rebbe, said that a para may not be done with a zar. Vani Aymer, I disagree with my Rebbe, and he says k'sheira. Why? Because l'mitzina shchit is psula bizar. However, says the Rashbam, that even though Rabbi Yochanan was arguing with his Rebbe said that the Shechita Apar is possible Zohar, he said it's Kasha Bazar, it's only because Rabbi Shimon ben Yetzadik was his Rebbe, but not his Rebbe Muvak. With a Rebbe Muvak, he would have no right to argue. Then we learned in the Mishnah, Bala Eitzel Par Shnia. He came back to his Par, and now, in his Vidui, he did not only speak about himself, he spoke about all the Kahanim. Ask the Gemara, why in the first Vidu did he not speak about the other Kohanim? Or that he does speak about the other Kohanim? Answers the Gemara, Tana de Berev Yishmol, Kachi Midas Adin Esenis. It's what makes sense. Because Mutav Yavazaka V'yechaper Alachiv, it makes sense that somebody who's already Tor, that the Kohen Gadol, who spoke about vidui and already had the kapara when he did his vidui, should not speak about other people. He shouldn't speak about it when he's not yet purified by having said a vidui. So the Rishonim asked two questions. If there's a concept that a person to say vidui in others has to first be pure himself, what do we learn? In the first vidui, he spoke about his family. So how could he speak about his family? He's not yet pure. Answered the Ritva, Ishtik gufoy. When you speak about your wife, you like speaking about yourself, and that's why it's not, there's no difference. Ask the Tosfos Yeshonim, why does he have to speak about himself again? Here we're learning, in the Mishnah we learned that he speaks about himself again. He already spoke about himself. He already said a vidui for himself. So he answers, as long as the parah wasn't geshachten, as it wasn't slaughtered, we still continue asking for kapara until as long as we can, even if it means repeating something that was said earlier. But there's a very interesting concept that's taken out from this Gemara, La'alocha L'maisa. There's a minhag that Erev Yom Kippur, Aseres Yemei Teshuva, people do kaparas. They take a chicken, they take it over their head. And the minhag is that if you are doing kapara for a family member, skit, hold the chicken, or you're doing kaparas for a child, so you could hold the chicken for him. Say the Paiskim that if you're doing kapara that way, first do kapara for yourself, and then do the kapara for the other person. Why? Our Gemara. First you should be pure, and then the next person should be pure. Says the Mikrai Kodesh, also based on this concept, interesting minig. Erev Rosh Hashanah, we know we do at Taras Nadarim. How is that in Taras Nadarim done? One person speaks to three people. The three people become a Bezdin. So he says, if possible, says he, that the three people that you say Hataras Nadarim for should be all people that already did Hataras Nadarim. Because they're already purified, so they're in a much better position that you should come to them. It's a little hard to do because everybody's going to want to be the last. It's only the people that heard the Shia know this now. What he called, says the Beis Avi, says the Shalosh Tshuvos based on firm believers, he says you can't compare. Our Gemara is talking about kapara, purification. So in purification is the concept, first purify yourself, then purify the next person. Hataras Nadarim is not a concept of purification, he says. It's a concept that you have Nadarim, and the Torah, actually Parashas Matos, gives us a process how to remove the Nadarim. So since it's a concept of Hataras Nadarim, not purification, this concept is not relevant.